How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome back to another Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Reigning Jays. John Corrales here along with Jay King. And the big news for the Celtics right now, Jared Sullinger has essentially been let go. And it's not 100% definite, but it's like 99.999% definite that Jared Sullinger is done with the Boston Celtics. The Celtics have renounced his rights. They have withdrawn his qualifying offer. There you go. Sorry, drew a blank on that. So Jared Sullinger is gone, which is surprising to me, Jay, because I thought it would have been the other way around, that Tyler Zeller would have been renounced first and Sullinger would have been the guy that came back because he's the better rebounder. He's the guy that fills some more of those gaps that the Celtics are looking to fill.
Yeah. And so that was, and he's better than Tyler Zeller. You know, he started 73 games last year. He did more things, and you would think that they wouldn't renounce Sullinger with the other options they had. They could have renounced Zeller. They could have, I believe, also waived John Holland and agreed to draft and stash Gershon Yabusele, which is probably going to happen anyway. So it was a little strange that they did it. Danny Ainge came out and talked to the Boston Globe's Adam Himmelsbach, said he hopes Sullinger finds a good opportunity, but that they felt this was best for the team. Maybe they had a feeling Sullinger was going to get a contract offer and they wanted to do him a solid and let him become an unrestricted free agent. I don't know exactly what happened and why they chose Sullinger, but obviously, you know, they didn't want to give him long-term money. And they didn't want to do that because of cap flexibility, because they want to have enough space to sign a maximum contract free agent next year. And then on top of that, there's the health issues he's had and the conditioning issues. Obviously, you know, he came into a contract year when everyone gets in shape. And he said he was working so hard with John Lucas and then came back and looked like very much the same guy he was before. And that's red flag city right there. When you're in a contract year, you're 23 years old and you can't get yourself in shape just one summer of your life. So maybe that's what they're thinking. I still think it's a weird move. Sullinger's good. The Celtics are going to miss Jared Sullinger. He's a good rebounder, good passer. He took care of the ball. He was their best post defender. He did a lot of things to help the team. And I know people hated his shooting. I know people hated how much weight he always had. But he did a lot of good things for the Celtics over his 4 years with the team. And assuming he does leave, which seems like by far the most likely scenario at this point, then they're going to miss him. And they're going to miss him, I think, more than people appreciate. I do think that their roster will be a much better shooting roster without him. You know, you look at their roster, maybe they start Amir Johnson and Kelly, or Al Horford and Kelly Olynyk, and then bring Amir Johnson and Jonas Jerebko off the bench. And they're kind of like playing small all the time. And obviously small lineups have been the best for them. So not only they're playing small, but they've got a rim protector in either Johnson or Horford all the time. So I think their roster might be better set up without him, but they'll miss a lot of the things he does. And again, it's just seems like a weird move, but we don't know everything the Celtics do.
Right. It does seem like a weird move because this is something that the Celtics need. The skills that Sullinger has are things that the Celtics need. And it seems like you and I are more on the same page, and we like Sullinger more than some of the fans do. And when I've been tweeting about this all day, and a lot of the reaction I've gotten has been like, hallelujah, Jared Sullinger is gone. People are just really happy. Some people are really happy that he's gone because they see the weight issue and they see some of the shooting issues. But I will say that from the middle to the end of last season, he really pared back on his three-point shooting. Like, he saw what was going on, and he said, look, I'm not hitting this on a consistent enough basis, so I'm going to do other things. And I thought Jared Sullinger was a pretty decent player for the Celtics. He is statistically part of some of the best lineups that the Celtics had last season. So to just outright dismiss Sullinger and say, thank you, glad he's gone, I think it's a little bit misguided. I think that the Celtics, like you said, are going to miss some of the things that he did. But now the question is, how do they get some of the things that he did? Does this mean that Gershon Yabusele is here this year rather than a year from now? Now, you had a thing, you reported that he is still a likely draft and stash at least for 1 year. So what happens now? How do the Celtics fill Sullinger's spot?
Yeah, I think that's a question. I think the rotation will probably be what I mentioned earlier with Horford and Kelly Olynyk paired and Johnson and Jarebko paired, or Johnson and Crowder, whatever it is, so that they can always have a rim protector now. And Tyler Zeller, who knows what will happen with him? He's still a restricted free agent. They still have the rights to match. If he signs a reasonable deal, who knows? They might match, or maybe he won't get a deal and he'll just end up coming back on a 1 year contract. So that could be another option. There are still some free agents out there that nobody too attractive, I guess. No game changers out there. I just want to clarify, when we say it's a weird move, it probably wasn't going to matter anyway. Like, no matter what, they didn't want to commit long-term money to Jared Sullinger. That's been clear from day one. And this move, like, it got rid of their option to match any contract offers he receives, but they probably weren't going to do that anyway. I mean, it's still theoretically possible for them to keep him. They could open up about, I believe it's like $12.7 million in cap space by waiving Holland, stashing Yabusele, and renouncing Zeller, and they could still bring Sullinger into cap space. But again, Ainge is already talking about him like he's gone. The Nets, The Nets, we're going to talk about them in a little bit. How their like offseason plans fell apart today, and now they're going to have a lot of money, and obviously they need a talent upgrade at every position, including power forward, where Sullinger could help out. So that could be a good fit. They might end up offering him a pretty substantial contract. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I just wanted to clarify that when we say weird move, it's just because we would have thought they would keep that option open as long as they could. And instead, you know, they decided to keep Zeller's rights for whatever reason.
It's the timing. That's what it is. It's the timing. And so, right, the Zeller thing is also, we would have assumed that Zeller was definitely gone and that Sullinger was the kind of wild card. But now Sullinger is gone, and let's be real here. Theoretically, he could come back, but why would you do this move if you were hoping to bring him back? He's gone. Jared Sullinger is done with the Boston Celtics. So when we look at everything that we were expecting from the offseason, if this was Tyler Zeller, we wouldn't be doing this show for Tyler Zeller because we expected Tyler Zeller to go. But they're retaining the rights to match Tyler Zeller, which kind of tells you, I think, where they're looking in this offseason. Zeller is a bigger, more traditional big that he can pick and pop. He can hit the mid-range shot. But I would think that Sullinger is more of a versatile big that can shoot theoretically, but he could definitely rebound and do these things. So it's just a little confusing. So, but that's done. It's done. Sullinger is gone. And now, like you mentioned, the Brooklyn Nets, who we talked about in the past shows, they made a big offer for Allen Crabbe. They made a big offer for Tyler Johnson. These kind of middle-of-the-road kind of guys that may be future uncovered gems type of, you know, these diamond-in-the-rough kind of guys that, given the right opportunity, they could blossom. So Sean Marks and the Nets made these attempts, but it looks like Miami is going to match Tyler Johnson. It looks like Portland is going to match Allen Crabbe. So those things are out, and it looks like they need a power forward. So maybe Jared Sullinger ends up in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and Danny Ainge must be thrilled with what's going on in Brooklyn, because obviously, you know, Johnson and Crabbe aren't, they're not all-stars. They're not great players, but they're the type of guys who have upside to them and could have brought however many wins to Brooklyn. And the Celtics, owners of the right to swap picks with Brooklyn in 2017, owners of Brooklyn's unprotected pick in 2018, they're rooting for the Nets to be as terrible as possible. And Brian Robb from Celtics Hub tweeted out their current depth chart. And I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't think they could beat my men's league team. They've got Jeremy Lin, Caris LeVert, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Sean Kilpatrick, Trevor Booker, Chris McCullough, Brooke Lopez, somebody Hamilton.
This is not a good team. This is not a good team.
I mean, that is a bad, bad team with no skill anywhere except Lopez and Jeremy Lin. And Jeremy Lin should be a backup somewhere. That is going to be a bad, bad team on both ends of the court. And there's nobody left. Like I was reading a top free agents list that had Deion Waiters as the top remaining free agent. Like, it's not like there are still guys out there to spend money on.
J.R. Smith is out there, man. Stop it.
Sullinger, baby. Sullinger. I'm telling you, the Nets the Nets look like a probable landing spot for Jared Sullinger, at least to me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
At least on short years and short money. Yeah, absolutely.
The Nets, man. I mean, this NBA landscape is out of control. When you offer Tyler Johnson $50 million, and it's not even enough to get him away from his former team or current team now. So, I mean, it's nuts. $50 million for Tyler Johnson, and two different teams wanted to pay Tyler Johnson $50 million this summer.
Yeah.
What a world we live in. The guy's played like 600 minutes in his life. But, I want to set up.
I challenge our listeners to even identify Tyler Johnson from a lineup.
Yeah. And also, I want to set up a game between the Oak Square YMCA champions, which is my men's league team, and the Brooklyn Nets. I honestly think that if Lopez has an injury, we could take them. I think we'd be the favorites. We'd enter as like 3-point favorites or something.
Hey, have you ever seen Brian Scalabrine with those one-on-one challenges?
Yes, I have. Those are fantastic, by the way.
Those are amazing. So Brian Scalabrine, now everybody thinks they can take Scal. Everybody thinks, Scal. Scal's a scrub. I can take Scal. I've played a little bit of basketball. Scal wipes the floor with those guys. Wipes the floor with them. So
I'll still get buckets on Bogdan Bogdanovich. Don't get it twisted, Don.
Okay, Westbrook. Okay, Russ.
And Rondae Hollis Jefferson can't score on me either.
I will give you this. You will shoot. There's no doubt in my mind that you will get shots off, but you're not stopping anybody. That's not happening.
I think I could stop these Nets, man. But they look right now like the odds-on favorites to be the worst team in the NBA. I thought there was a little upside potential with Johnson and Crabbe and Lopez and Booker and Lin. Like that could have, if everything went right and everybody developed, it could have been like they could have won a few more games than people anticipated. Now
they made some moves.
They look bad. And even if they get Sullinger, Sullinger would definitely help them out. But even if they get him, that there is nobody left on the market that can stop them from being an absolute atrocity to the game of basketball, like downright embarrassment to the game of basketball this year.
Yeah. If I'm Jared Sullinger, I'm going to Brooklyn. I'm signing a 1+1 and then I'm entering free agency next summer.
If I'm Jared Sullinger, I'm signing for as much money as possible because my body is, who knows what's going to happen with that. The conditioning issues, all that. I'm getting a long-term deal. I'm setting myself.
So you're going 4 years with Brooklyn.
Yeah.
4 years.
4 years, $60 million. That's what I'm aiming for. Give me that Mozgov money.
I can see that. I don't think Brooklyn, like, do you think Sean Marks gives him that kind of contract, though?
They have to spend. I mean, the floor, they're so far away from the salary floor.
Yeah, but they have all season to get to the floor. The floor isn't determined until the end of the year.
Yeah, but what are the opportunities out there for them? They have no trade assets. There are no free agents left. Like, you have cap space. Jared Sullinger is a helpful player. Like, it makes sense. And maybe you don't want to do long term because maybe you have the same concerns that the Celtics do about his health and his conditioning and all that stuff. But
yeah.
I mean, you have there's no incentive for them to lose. Like,
no, there's none. No, you're right. I'm looking at their salary cap right now. And without Crabbe and without Tyler Johnson, I mean, that's $20 million. No, $30 million. Holy crap. They had $30 million tied up in Crabbe and Johnson. So $30 million brings them down to $68 million. The cap floor is $84 million. So they do have to spend. Oh, man. Sean Marks. God bless you, man. You got a hell of a job ahead of you.
Yeah,
because that Brooklyn Nets team is a mess. For people who don't know, the cap floor, just as a quick explainer, there's like a minimum and a maximum. And so the cap floor is what, 84? So teams generally have to get to $84 million as a minimum salary. They have to spend $84 million on their team. However, when you hear the cap floor, the teams have all year long to spend that money. So
there's no punishment if they don't spend it. It's just,
exactly. That's where
you give it to whoever's on your roster, whatever the difference is between the floor and your roster salary cap, then you just, not the salary cap, the total salary, then you just pay out the rest to the guys on your current roster. So if
Brooklyn gets the $70 million, if at the end of the season they've spent $70 million on their roster, that $14 million just gets split amongst the rest of the guy, all of the guys that are on the team. So it's not horrible. Like, the team has to spend $84 million. But that doesn't mean they have to commit to those salaries. So, yeah, they can spend the money on Sullinger, but if they don't really see him as a long-term fit, then just give the guys on the team $14 million. And congratulations, Jeremy Lin, you got an extra $2 million. Like, that's just a one-time thing. They had to spend that money anyway. They're still not tied up financially in the long term, so it doesn't matter.
They're screwed no matter what. They should trade for James Young, man.
They should. And James Young would get really rich if he did that.
I will play for
the Brooklyn Nets right now. Sean Marks, if you're listening to the show, you want to fill a roster spot, you can sign me. I will sit there inactive in Brooklyn. I'll podcast from the bench. Doesn't matter to me. I'll take some of that minimum money. I'll take some of that floor money that you haven't spent. And we're cool. Like, I'll help you out by filling that spot. Just throwing it out there, Sean, since we're on a first name basis.
There you go. Sounds like I don't typically feel bad for millionaires, but Sean Marks just has such an impossible job.
Sean Marks, he should have like a 10-year contract because it's going to take that long. The Brooklyn Nets are in an untenable situation. They have to just be bad. And they can't just be bad like Philly was bad.
They have to just
be bad and wait.
John has the perfect fix. They have to just be bad.
But they can't just be bad like Philly was bad and get big picks. They have to be bad and wait until their badness pays off 2 years, 3 years from now. So, man, what they need to do is, if anybody is stupid enough to trade for Lopez, and he's good. He's a good player. He's a really, really good player. But like, at this point, why would you trade for Brook Lopez?
Because he's a really good player.
But okay, whose fortune is Brook Lopez changing?
I mean, that's good. There are a lot of teams that probably want to trade centers. You've got Orlando that just signed a couple of guys and still has Vucevic, who kind of looks like he might be set up for a trade. There are definitely some other teams. I'm blanking right now. I literally had a conversation last night about all the teams that are probably going to want to trade centers, and now I'm blanking because we're on the podcast and I'm a moron and I'm just choking under pressure. But yeah, there are a lot of teams that want to trade centers, and Brook Lopez, you have to assume they want to trade him. They traded Thad Young already. They obviously aren't going to win in the next couple of years. And by the time they might win, he'll be an older guy. He'll be even slower than he already is. So, yeah, a lot more Nets talk than I anticipated. What we really meant to say is just that they're going to be really, 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 really bad. And next year's draft class is really, 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 really good. And both those things probably will work out very well for the Boston Celtics.
They will. They absolutely will. And Jared Sullinger is gone. And now we have to see what they do with Tyler Zeller. I think that now that they have signed or have the space to sign Al Horford officially, and that's what this move was, the ability to sign Horford officially, they can wait on Zeller, and maybe Zeller can be a kind of a stopgap for the year. They can bring him back for a year or two on short money. Doesn't matter. Give him a little bit, not too much. And if somebody somehow steps up big, they don't have to match. Not a big deal. They just refuse to match it. Done, gone. But the bigger issue, I think, right now is the Celtics seem to be done with free agent signings. The free agency period for the Celtics is done, and
I'm not sure.
Okay,
I mean, they have $3.7 million in cap space right now. If Yabusele doesn't sign that, or if he goes overseas, which he probably is, from what I've been told, that's you're above $5 million already. John Holland, add that, you're close to $8 million. If Zeller's rights are renounced, you could get up to 12.7. So they still could have cap space left. I don't know who the heck they would target.
But obviously, who they go for. Yeah, that's the thing.
Obviously, they need shooting. You might be better off just – they need shooting and they need another interior presence, preferably someone who can rebound. Tyler Zeller doesn't really do that, but he's probably better than any big guy you could get. So maybe best case scenario is Zeller comes back for a year. Maybe – I mean, I don't even know what shooters are out there. There aren't a lot. Isaiah Thomas was hyping up Jason Terry. He shouted out Jason Terry. They're good friends. But he was like, there's this old guy. I know he can play. We might want to sign him. His name's Jason Terry.
Yeah, we tried that before. Kind of done with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but then, I mean, then he went to Houston and had a good year, helped them get to the Western Conference Finals before last year. That whole franchise was an absolute joke. But, yeah, who knows? There's not a lot of options left in free agency, though, and the Celtics – I mean, they're already committed, including Jaylen Brown, to 13 guys on guaranteed deals for next year. And that's without even including Yabusele, without including Zeller, if they keep him, and without including Jackson, Bentel, guys they still have to make decisions on. So
right.
there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. Danny Ainge can't just go chill out and have a drink by some pool in Vegas. He has to do a lot of work. There's a lot to figure out here. So, but we talked about this in prior shows. This is the time where trades are made. The guys who have who were targeted in free agency have signed with their teams. And now teams that were targeting those guys need to go to plan B, and that plan B is trades. And the Celtics, I don't know if they're going to be aggressive in the one-to-one trade scenario with other teams, but they may be aggressive as trying to get in as a third team. And that $12 million of cap space that you're talking about could be a nice way to be involved as a third team in a trade, acquiring a guy into your cap space.
Although they don't have much roster, else. They don't have much roster space to do that. So I'm not sure how that would work out. But yeah, they're definitely still looking at
but
trades.
You get rid of Zeller if Yabusele goes to a European team, if he's a draft and stash, you cut Young. Like they can do it. They can bring a guy in. Cut Young. Just cut him and bring a guy in, and you're in the same situation. There's no real necessity to keep Young on this team. Let's just be real here, he's done. So they can do it. They can easily absorb a contract and make moves. You just renounce Zeller, you cut Young, that's two spaces right there. Yabusele is a draft and stash. Zizic is a draft and stash. You have space, you have money, you can do it.
Yeah, I mean, but then Jackson, Bentel too. Who knows what those guys? So, I mean, there are a lot of moving parts here. Ainge is still looking for trades. We know that, and I'm excited to see what happens. I feel like they're definitely looking. They are exploring every trade possibility. They still want to make substantial moves if possible. I mean, Isaiah Thomas said it yesterday. Wick Grosbeck has said it. Danny Ainge has said it. They're all like, we're not done. We're not done. Oh, yeah, well, what are you going to do? So we'll see what happens.
We can extrapolate scenarios all we want. So, but there's an entire summer to do that. So let's just wrap it up. We are going to finish up the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.